The Mountain Gardener is paid for by Waters Garden Center and is solely responsible for its content.
Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. Your host, Ken Lane, here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. We are into the planting season. You should feel some pressure for certain kinds of plants. If you're, if you're going to plant, let's say a new pine tree, a big blaze maple, new fruit trees, the ideal time to plant those is before they wake up. You really do want to get those in the ground while they're still dormant, or so they've got time to acclimate. Get used to the weather, which we brought them in. They're here at the garden center. They're acclimating right now. But that's to the outdoor ambient temperature. So they wake up when all the other maples wake up, and they wake up when all the other aspens wake up, fruit trees, whatever it is. They also, ideally, if they can acclimate to your soil, that's even better. If you can go to the top end, bottom end, or below ground, above ground, if they can get used to that new planting area before they're actually leafing out, blooming, growing, setting fruit, that kind of stuff, that is ideal. Now, it's not the most popular time. I'll tell you that right now. So May is the most popular time to plant trees. We are overrun. Every department, everywhere, we can't get enough staff. The trucks, there's three trucks a day. It's craziness. That's the most popular time. But the healthiest time, the best time for your plants. Actually, it's even better for you because May is going to start, it starts to get warm. It's 80 degrees. There's prevailing southwest wind. It's dry. It wears on you. It's hot during the day. Right now, it's nice and cool. You can work all day. You can work until you decide you don't want to work anymore because the weather's not going to beat you down for the plant or for you. And so it's a good time to plant. Now, I would say maybe not ideal to be planting summer things. That is, I've got people asking for crepe myrtles and, you know, some butterfly bush, Rosa Sharon's, those summer, you know, smoke bush, all those things that bloom in the summer. Now, those are real late to wake up. So, I mean, most folks get tricked into thinking their crepe myrtles are dead. They're going, oh, it's not leafed out. Everything else in my yard. My lilacs have already bloomed and they're leafing now. My forsythia are done and they're fully leafed. What's going on with my crepe myrtles? Grapes can be that way. They have no, certain plants have zero interest in spring. They want it to be warm. They're kind of like a lizard. They want to crawl up there, sunbathe on a rock, and just take in the sun. And they're not going to leaf out until they can do that. Well, they're going to be until it's end of April, first part of May, before the grapes are really taking off. Whereas your roses, they're already leafing out. Your forsythia, they bloomed this week. Out in Prescott Valley, the purple leaf plums. It's a pink blooming tree. You're seeing a tree out there just cracked this last couple days. They love the spring season. So it's time to plant those things. And if you can put them in the ground just before they wake up, that is the peak window. I mean, the peonies here at the garden center, they are growing an inch a day. It's a wild. It's kind of fun to watch. As a gardener, I mean, I've been doing this 32 years. I never tire. I mean, I love coming to work and going, I wonder what grew more since yesterday. This is kind of fun. So it's like Christmas for gardeners all the time, only I get to work in it. I get paid to come to work and play with plants. I mean, this is like the best job ever. And so it's a good thing. If you're thinking of the spring blooming plants, so we are stocked full of lilacs. They're everywhere. We got every variety, every size, every color, every dwarfs, mid dwarfs, standard, the one your grandmother grew. We got them all. If you can put them heavily budded up, they're not quite blooming. They will be within days, but they're not quite blooming. But if you can put those in the ground before they bloom, they will acclimate better because you've put them in the ground and you'll get to enjoy those flowers longer. And if you're to come into the nursery in 3 weeks, they're all in full bloom. Every cart's got a lilac on them. It will sell out. That's the goal, at least. We don't want any left. So we make room for the summer blooming things. We have more crepe myrtles coming. We've got some now, but they're just twigs in a bucket. Lilacs are heavily budded and inspirational. That's exciting. So we have more of those. So if you can get them in before, and that's what I want to share with you. You are seeing things bloom right now. Things have spring hit this week. So Prescott Valley, Lisa and I were out there a couple times this week. We love going out there, hitting the movies. Audio Adrenaline was putting some stuff for us out. They were just doing work for us on a truck I have. So we were out there a couple times, and the purple leaf plum, that's one that kind of announces spring, is opening. The one right after that, so it'll be purple leaf plum, is this ornamental plum, bright pink flowers. When it's done blooming in about 3-4 weeks, it starts to put on these purple leaves. Doesn't necessarily put fruits on, but it's just for, you're planting that for the flower and for the purple foliage. There's a certain place to have that. And then right after that, I mean, or as it's ending blooming, the red buds start blooming. And in Prescott Valley, you all are famous. I mean, the town of Prescott Valley has done such a good job at planting trees out there. That's why they make the best of the best list, Arbor Day, whatever. They are on track for planting more trees. They just do a good job. And those two are kind of the primary ones they plant for the spring season. Well done. So red buds are a shorter tree. They're about the same size. Maybe call it high teens. So under 20 feet tall, rounded shape. So they take the wind really well. Red buds are actually a native here. So there's a wild variety. It's called Western red bud or Mexican red bud. It's a couple native varieties that grow here, but all the varieties do really well. And so they'll basically be different sizes and different leaf colors. The flowers are always going to be pink, bright pink. There's different brightnesses. Is that even a word? Intensities of pink. So like Oklahoma redbud or Merlot redbud have a real, like a magenta, real like fluorescent pink. It's very bright. The standard one we've grown for years is Eastern redbud. It's the tallest of the varieties, like a mini shade tree. It has a lighter pink, but all have pink. And then the leaves can be anywhere from green to like Kelly green to purple to variations to, there's one called flamethrower. I mean, the new growth comes out red and then the leaves are like gold color. It's very pretty. It looks like a flamethrower coming out as it emerges with growth and it has some green on it. It's very pretty. So it's a newer variety, but it has a real bright, that's one that has that fluorescent, a pink color to it. All take the wind, all take the sun, all take the, and they're equally hardy. So, but now's the time. Forsythia started blooming in Prescott, at least here in my neighborhood. We are seeing forsythia. There's a yellow bush. It's covered in yellow flowers. It opened up just this week. And so as you drive around, you'll see more and more and more of these. And so it depends on what altitude. So the higher elevation's a little cooler, but really it comes down to which part of the hill are you facing? So the east exposure, the south exposure, those two, the landscapes that have that exposure will bloom first. The ones that are pointing to the west and the north, they will bloom about a week, 10 days after your neighbors do on the east side. It's all because it's just a little warmer. That north side stays cooler. And so the buds stay compact. They open a little bit later. So don't be concerned if you see your neighbors going, oh my gosh, their lilacs are in bloom. What's going on with mine? Just give them a moment, give them a week, and they too will be in bloom. And when your neighbors, those east facing, south facing neighbors, when they have bloomed out, yours are still going to be in bloom. So yours might even bloom longer because it's a little bit cooler, more shady. They won't dry out, that kind of stuff. So enjoy the spring season. Flowering quince start heavily budded, starting to crack color. The Mediterranean heath has been blooming. Camellias, they have been in bloom. I have some winter blooming jasmine. It's a shrub. It's a green shrub that has small leaves, but it starts even before forsythia does with this bright yellow flower. At first you'd think it's a forsythia, but nope. It's flowering jasmine. Doesn't have the fragrance that southern jasmine or star jasmine does, but it has a brighter flower. There's a lot in store this show for you. We've got a lot of garden tips, tricks, and garden hacks that'll help you garden better, smarter this spring. Don't go anywhere. You got to pay a couple bills. Be right.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
The colors of spring are bursting at Waters' 61st Spring Open House.
A record number of Waters farmers are here showing off their newest, brightest flowers all weekend.
Friday, we show off this year's prettiest plant introductions.
Saturday and Sunday, it's impromptu garden classes, hot dogs on the barbie, plant giveaways, and drawings.
Join the garden fun at Waters Garden Center 61st Spring Open House, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe bees and monarchs are in danger, and we can save them at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions. Just what are people talking about? And boy, are gardeners starting to talk, aren't they?
They're definitely
kind of fun. The garden, yeah. The classes are bigger.
Yeah.
There's more views online. I'm noticing the our Instagram reels.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have these segments broken out into little segments, kind of snippets.
Mm-hmm.
92 minutes at most. So it breaks it down. And they're getting hundreds of views
really? Each
day. So it's every day there's a little bit one. If you're into this, if you're into gardening, it would be worthwhile going to Waters Garden Center and just follow and subscribe and do all that kind of stuff. It's going through our YouTube channel too. A little bit longer format, but the reels, you can listen to anything for 90 seconds. 10 minutes, that might be a commitment. An hour-long program, that's what the radio show is. That's just too long. Unless you're working out in the garden and you just want to put us in on the radio and listen in. It's kind of fun. It's just,
well, I know we get out there. I had a question because they can write questions in on the website. I had a question from New Hampshire the other day.
Really?
And I'm like, you might want to check in New Hampshire. So
there's certain areas that, you know, this is zone 7.
Right.
Gardening.
Yeah.
And so we go down into zone 5, which would be Flagstaff, and Williams, White Mountains. We can go up to zone 8. That's Dewey, you know, Sedona, those areas. But pretty much we're all sort of the same. Well, when you look at it that way, because northern Arizona is so diverse, we're kind of like Vermont, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Virginia, all the way across the country, Nashville. We're kind of the same zone, the same advice.
Right.
Maybe the sun's a little different. Soil maybe is different, but it's kind of the same.
Yeah, he was wanting me to ship him a fruit cocktail tree.
Oh, no.
I said, sorry, you can't do that.
You gotta fly in here, rent a Yule, haul it back.
There you go, haul it back.
They're so specialized.
Yeah.
That's why I was sharing with folks, don't wait.
Right.
For the more specialized it is, grab it now because it won't be here in, a week. We'll be out.
Yep.
There's no more.
That is true.
So questions from folks. What are people talking about?
Well, Jess would like to know, is it too late to prune fruit trees at this point? And then what about roses? Is it too late? Have you missed that golden opportunity do you do?
Jess, you're fine. Actually, this is probably the ideal time. So March is a good time. I would say you should feel some pressure. Okay, we're halfway through March. You need to get on this. Stop waiting. So by the end of the month, I think you're fine. Roses prefer to be pruned when you're starting to see that new growth. That just as they're growing, that's kind of your cue. Go for it. If your fruit trees are heavily budded, even if they're just cracking a little bit of color, go for it. Once they're in full bloom, you're kind of getting past the peak time, but better to prune it when you're past the peak time than to not prune it at all, because fruit trees, they like to be pruned.
Right.
So I think you're spot on. Go for it. Don't worry about it.
Good. All right. Next question is from Valerie. She says, I saw the Lily of the Valley shrub at the store. Can you give me more specifics? Sun, shade, how long does it bloom, and what type of soil does it like?
Well, first of all, Valerie, thanks for coming in. It's kind of visiting. That's super. And writing a question, that's awesome. So Lily of the Valley, they've just started to crack open. I showed them off at last week's class. They were starting to bloom, and they've got this intoxicating smell. There's this fragrance that's even brighter than lilacs or roses. It's just very, very bright. It can almost be too pungent sometimes. So it's perfect in a container because they stay small. And they're shade lovers, so you could put it in a container under that overhang, north-facing gardens, under overhang of a patio or deck. It would shine with that. It's a good perennial, evergreen, gets up about knee-high. And just stays that, without any pruning, just stays that size. Mm-hmm. There's very few shade-loving perennials that keep their bounds, that won't outgrow their space, that has that kind of fragrance. It's really good. And the beauty is, if you're in that wildland interface, I see you got bunnies or deer coming through, they don't eat Lily of the Valley. So you should be good to go with that. So put it right out there in the gardens, in a container, in a raised bed. It'll take our climate, no problem. Just that sun in the middle of June, that 10 to 2 sun, that's hard on it. It'll get brown tips on the leaves and all kinds. If you've grown in other parts of the country, it's been fine in the full sun. Here, it needs some protection.
Mm-hmm. So, and how long does it bloom?
Oh, all spring. Like from now through all spring.
It is a long blooming
shrub. Crazy long.
And I think we have three different varieties in right now.
There's a silver one.
That's a variegated.
Variegated. There's a green one, the traditional one that we've grown for years.
And there's a new one,
It's got red growth on it or something. They're really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So check those out.
Now's the time. You'll find Lily of the Valley, best selection now. In the summer, you won't find any.
Okay.
It just kind of comes down to that.
All right. Next question is from Dan. He says, I really want to put in a Colorado spruce, but I live in Dewey. Will they grow there, or is there a tree that would actually do better there?
Dan, so great question. So the native one that grows there is Arizona cypress, okay? That grow there, it'll naturalize and just grows by itself. It sounds like you want a Christmas tree looking tree, and Arizona cypress does not look that way. And so Colorado spruce will grow there, no problem. But you'll probably need to put it on a drip system. You'll need to do that for anything out there, no matter what, until it gets fully rooted. So it takes a couple seasons for the roots to get fully engaged into the gardens, so to grow out there, even a native like Arizona cypress. A Colorado spruce is actually a bigger plant. Colorados, they get, I don't know, 50 feet tall, and they will get that big out there. No worries. I think at all elevation, you'll see them, you'll see spruce all the way down to even the Verde areas. You'll see spruce as long as they're irrigated. So Prescott Valley, irrigated. So as you get higher elevations, you know, the Groom Creeks and stuff, that's where they naturally grow. Yeah, you probably get them, you probably water them until they get rooted, and then you let them go by themselves. But they always look better. A little bit of food, water makes everything look better. So Dan, I'd say, don't worry. Come on in. Let's show you how to make this thing go. You're probably watering a deep soak once a week. It's probably enough for those because they've got a pretty big root ball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even in the peak of summer, maybe when it's 100 out there and you get that wind that funnels through that valley area, maybe it's twice a week at most. If you're going to kill a Colorado spruce out there, it won't be from the heat. It'll be from overwatering.
Yeah, if you get into some of those clay patches out there, you do have to be a little more careful.
There's a caliche layer that runs out that 69 corridor that can be really rough. So just make sure that the spruce drains. So if you're in doubt, here's how you test it. You're planting a new pine tree or spruce or whatever, Arizona cypress, whatever it is. Dig your hole and you're going, oh, this soil seems really hard. Oh, my gosh, I need a jackhammer. If you've got that kind of soil, test it before you plant. And so what you do is you dig your hole, and then you fill it up with water in the morning. And if water is still sitting in that hole at the end of the day, you've got a problem. You just dug a bathtub. I mean, dig it deeper, fill it up, and add some bubbles. Enjoy it because your trees aren't going to like it.
Right.
What we'll do is we'll dig a chimney. We'll take a piece of that hole. And we'll dig a piece of it out until we get to the next soil band. And usually there's a rock, a boulder, a caliche layer. Something's underneath there that's not allowing the water to penetrate. As soon as you break that, even with a digging bar or jackhammer, many times we'll take the jackhammer, just fracture it down, and it will start draining. And the soil never lies. So if you fill it up and it's drained by the end of the day, you're good. Mm-hmm. Go plant whatever evergreen you want. If it's still sitting there, really you're talking cattails. I mean, mint, you can't kill mint. And something that likes boggy, yucky water, soils, gooey soils.
Right. Okay. I think we have time to get Sherry's question in. It's a quick one. Wants to know when she should start watering her lawn again and how frequent.
Yeah, now. So I fertilize it now. Take the 744 all-purpose food. It's a granular food. It's like magic for lawns. Oh, my gosh. You will wake it up and be green like next week and make sure the lawnmower is sharp and ready to go. And then start watering. So March, plants, they'll start greening up like immediately. So I'd say now's your time. Go for it. And we are like that. We're out of time. Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners. Be right back.
You're listening to Ken Lane, a.k.a. the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens. Growing up in Prescott, we knew spring was here when my grandmother's lilacs bloomed. I'm Lisa Waters Lane, and my grandmother would be thrilled with the new Bloomerang Purple Lilacs at Waters Garden Center. They don't just bloom once in spring, they bloom again in summer. Mine bloomed 3 times last year, making spring last well into fall, and just $29.99. Come check out all the heavenly new sights and scents that are making this spring the most beautiful ever. Lilacs like Grandma used to grow and better. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss, watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Hi, this is Barry. Join me for lunch every Saturday at 12 o'clock for the Prescott Palette. That's every Saturday at 12 o'clock on KQNA, 1130 AM, 95.5 FM, 99.9 FM, and KQNA.com, as well as the mobile app.
We believe no one is a failure who has friends at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with 2 T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
So I thought I would cover, just because spring is here, we're seeing things in bloom. I'm getting questions at the garden classes here at the garden center. My daffodils are up. My tulips are starting to show up. I planted some broccoli. I've got my ornamental trees are blooming now. Should I protect them? Should I cover them? What should I cover them with? How often should I cover them? Now, the easy answer is don't worry about it. Spring plants know how to protect themselves, and they open up when they know that spring is here and they're not going to be damaged. So daffodils have a lot of antifreeze in them. They're going to bloom and they're going to be just fine. Even if there's it's 27 degrees, they're fine. Your lilacs, when they bloom, they're fine. What's in bloom now? Purple leaf plums. Usually they're blooming. They're kind of temperature related day parts. They go by day. How long is the day and how cold is the evening temperature? And they do a calculation. They're pretty smart. They kind of go, I think it's time. Let's do this. Boom. And they start opening up. And so they should be fine on their own. Fruit trees are where it gets tricky. So your fruit trees, they should not be in bloom right now. If you got the right variety, there's some with how do I explain this in 3 minutes or less? there are chilling hours associated with fruit trees. And so we're bringing in here, at least at Waters Garden Center, we're bringing in varieties that have proven themselves to produce fruit more consistently than others. So we're curating that for our gardeners that shop here. And we're looking for varieties that have a large number of chilling hours. So apples typically have 900 to 1200 chilling hours. It needs to be below freezing at least 1,000 hours before it blooms. That's its program. It goes by its counting. It's got a ticker. It goes, okay, let's see. Tonight I was freezing at least 5 hours. Okay, there we go. Check the box. Your pears will be similar, about 900 to 1,200 hours. It needs to be below freezing before it hits a trigger and goes, I'm going to bloom. Then it would be your peaches and cherries. They kind of need, I don't know, they don't go to 1,200. If they did, we bring them in. But generally, they're going to bloom a little bit earlier. So they're going to be anywhere from 700 to 900 chilling hours before they start to open up. Your desert varieties, they might only need 200 chilling hours. Of course, the deserts don't get cold very long. And so there, they want them to bloom real early so that they can get them produced. They can produce fruit and harvest before the heat of summer. Totally opposite from what we do up here in the mountains. Here, we want them to bloom as late as possible so we get out of that risk of frost. And if they are in bloom, if we're getting a frost, then you need to cover them or protect them. That's for fruit trees. That's not for lilacs. That's not for spring blooming quince. That's not for, you know, red buds and purple leaf plums. And these things, they don't mind some cold. They have more antifreeze in them naturally, so they can protect themselves naturally. So I wouldn't worry about most of the things that are in bloom right now because they're fine. Unless you've got a desert variety of fruit or a citrus plant. Citrus does not grow up here outside in the yard because they bloom way too early, and then they have very little frost protection built into them. They don't have antifreeze. They'll go down to about mid-20s, and then they just get vaporized. Of your desert blooming, your desert cacti, they've got zero antifreeze in them. You look at them cold, and they turn to black mush and fall over. So, but the things that are blooming now that I've seen around town, your forsythia are in bloom. They love it. They'll bloom actually longer if they're actually getting a touch of frost and cold. They'll keep that flower longer. So I wouldn't worry too much. A lot of folks that are maybe new to the area, they're from the desert areas or Southern California, more tropical Hawaii areas, they're all worried because it's below 50 degrees. What should I do for my plants? Nothing. Leave them alone. They're fine. They're used to this. If you planted the right plant, you'll be fine. Same with your flowering heath. Or heathers. These are perennials, evergreen perennials. They've been in bloom. They're perfectly fine. They're happy when it's cold out. Rhododendrons, azaleas, they're great. They love that. It's fine. Leave them alone. The buds are not going to be damaged. Typically, if the buds are still tight, they're still protected, they've got this outer skin over or shell over the flower, they're not at risk of being damaged. Rarely. It's when they start to open, that's when some things can be exposed, and it's going to be mainly your fruit trees. And so the varieties, I would say do your homework on your varieties or know where you're buying your fruit trees from. If you're going to commit to that, you'll want to make sure you plant it right, because it'll be 5 years in, you're going, my fruit tree never blooms, and I don't know why. Because it bloomed too early, got exposed to frost, it's a desert variety, it's the wrong variety. And now you got a 5 year invested in this thing and it's never going to produce fruit. That's a hard choice. So you kind of want to do a little more homework on those. Whereas lilacs, lilac's a lilac pretty much. There's different sizes. I want head high. I want giant head high, chest high, or hip high. Pick the size you want and then pick the color you want. I really like there's a new one called Grandma's Lilac. It's a real bright purple. It's a big lilac. It's beautiful. Oh my gosh. Anyway, that's it for this segment. Don't worry too much about plants. They can protect themselves out in the yard, even if it's frosty. Be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
The colors of spring are bursting at Waters' 61st Spring Open House.
A record number of Waters farmers are here showing off their newest, brightest flowers all weekend.
Friday, we show off this year's prettiest plant introductions.
Saturday and Sunday, it's impromptu garden classes, hot dogs on the barbie, plant giveaways, and drawings.
Join the garden fun. Waters Garden Center 61st Spring Open House, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
We are back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week, just shares her garden expertise, and so she's here to inspire us to have more fragrance and beauty in our lives this spring. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I don't know how you have all these plants in the studio. I have no idea how you carry. What do you have, like a backpack and a...
I use a shopping cart.
Oh, got the other guy. Pretty good. Like 24 plants. There's no way you got enough time to share all those.
No, but I walk through the yard and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Look excited. At that. Oh, look at that. So I start grabbing things and I know it's too much, but you know.
You should start with those amaryllis. Oh my gosh, those came in. That is amazing.
So these are really cool. So amaryllis, most people think of amaryllis as a Christmas plant. It's that bright red or sometimes white, trumpet, big trumpet shaped flower. Yeah. And everybody just thinks, oh, it's a Christmas one. Yeah. Well, there are Christmas ones, but there are also spring amaryllis.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I think we've ever brought these in. So they're a spring amaryllis. So they're going to be blooming here in the spring.
This is actually Easter amaryllis.
Easter.
It's programmed to bloom, be in bloom, or darn close at Easter. And we've got another series for Mother's Day coming.
All right. So these are really cool because they are, you people who are just listening can't see it, but they're wrapped in a wax. So what that does is you don't have to put it in soil. You just leave it in this wax. You don't have to worry about watering it. You just enjoy it and you watch it grow. It has a real cool little stand on it so it stays nice and straight. You don't have to worry about it falling over.
Yeah.
But what makes these a little different also from the Christmas ones is they will put 3 to 4 stems on.
Yeah.
So you'll get different bloom times off of each stem. So it should be in bloom for 10 to 14 weeks.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So really neat. This one, the pink one is a pink and white variegated. There's like 4 or 5 different colors we got in. So this one, the bloom is pink and white with the pink wax around it.
Yeah.
Great if you've got kids, grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Great for people in nursing homes, people in small apartments. Excellent for that. They get to enjoy watching it grow. These things grow like inches per day.
Yeah. They'll get 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
And these actually, I talked to the farmer that grew these.
Mm-hmm.
This is a specialty of his. This is what he does. If you look at a Christmas cactus, it's a 1-year amaryllis. So it's a much smaller bulb. So amaryllis are a bulb. Like a daffodil, a tulip, a crocus.
Right.
Only this one's on steroids. This is the size of a small
childhood
softball, that's softball or small bowling ball, or it's like cricket, something like that. It's huge. It's gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means is it's a 2-year-old bulb instead of a 1-year for the spring. That's how you have to plant it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've dipped it in wax and you never water it. All the stuff this bulb needs is inside this bulb. And so it will just do its own thing. I guess you could plant it if you wanted to afterwards, but it's made to enjoy and then chuck it away and get it. It's like a living bouquet for gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a cut flower. So that's how you get weeks and weeks and weeks of bloom. And then the flowers, you get more flowers and bigger flowers because it's a much older bulb.
Right.
So it's like a bulb on steroids. It's like a Christmas amaryllis, probably not red. It's prettier. On steroids. It's beautiful. I'm so excited. We're taking several home.
And this one, so this is another variety I brought in.
That's
so this one's actually wax dipped, but it has dried rose petals around it. So it's very decorative as well. The bulb part is decorative, and then you'll get the big, beautiful. This one has mauve blooms. This one's called Revelations, I believe. And it'll be like a really dark mauve color.
Like the color
to
of the
it.
Rose petals.
Yeah,
pretty
literally
much. Dipped this amaryllis in rose petals. If you're driving right now, you should pull over and think about this. Or at least turn the car around, come to Water Garden Center, check this out. This, you've never seen this before. It's so cool. Yeah. I saw this thing is, again, the size of a large, bigger than a softball. It's huge. With at least two to three flowers going to come up out of this. Mm-hmm. That blooms a long time. So I saw these and went, oh, that is, I don't get excited about plants very often, but these I saw. Wait till you see the Mother's Day list. Oh my gosh. Ooh. It's really neat. Some have succulents glued onto them.
Sure.
And moss. It's really neat.
So super cool if you're doing Easter baskets.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe throw in an Easter basket. That'd be kind of fun.
Those kids don't need candy. They don't need a chocolate bunny. They need an amaryllis that blooms
and
for
them. And they actually would really love it. You literally would almost feel like you could sit there and watch them grow. They grow so fast. So wanted to point those out. Really cool. You got to come in and check them out. We're also getting some of our more springy perennials and wildflowers in. So columbines are in, which I can never remember the botanical of. But the columbine, we got the songbird mix in, which comes in blues and purples and reds and yellows. So just a really nice announcement of spring with those bright colors in there. And this is nice. It will drop seed and come back from seed the following year. The plant itself will get bigger. Just super for our mountain, Quad City
There's
locations.
A native variety up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. It's our wildflower up here. This is poppy. So you'll see these growing wild in the forest.
And if I'm not mistaken, very animal resistant, right?
Yeah. Although the yellow one, I know the native one is yellow.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about these bright purples and reds. Sometimes the deer can eat just the flower. They'll leave the foliage alone, but sometimes they eat the flower. It depends on the herd and how bored they are.
Right. So super little plant for here does very, very well.
I know deer don't eat euphorbia.
So I brought in two cousins of each other. These are both euphorbias. The gopher plant, which is Euphorbia rigida. We have a huge one in our yard that is now in bloom. So the bloom or the bract on it is a chartreuse green.
Yeah.
Kelly green. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And the thing I love about these plants, too, is just the structure of the plant is very architectural. It's very unique in the structure. Nice evergreen.
Yeah.
Great kind of low-growing ground cover type shrub for you.
Yeah, below knee-high, maybe a foot.
Perfect for those spots that are just brutally hot.
Yeah, that's where we have
And you're like, I've tried this and I've tried that.
Yeah.
These love this spot. So this is the regular Euphorbia rigida gopher plant. And then we also have its cousin, the Rainbow Ascot.
I love that name. Rainbow Ascot.
I
many more ascots in the world.
Like, how'd they come up with that? But you can see the color on that. You get more than just green. It's a very variegated. It's got the yellows, the pinks on it. Very attractive. Has the same flower.
Yeah.
So it gets that real bright green bract flower to it. Also very attractive. Take our cold. Animal resistant. Heat loving. Drought tolerant.
Every yard should have three.
I think we have at least three, maybe more. But super plants, sometimes they're hard to find. The rigida, believe it or not,
is impossible
to find. And I'm like, why?
This looks like a prehistoric. It looks screams Arizona. It's like Gila Monster should be running around the bottom of it. I mean, it's just beautiful Arizona plant.
And I would say they do great in containers as well. So ground or container, very versatile plants. So we got a nice supply of those in. And then the other plant that screams spring in the Quad City area is the forsythia. So I'm trying to think if I've seen any started to bloom yet.
They just opened.
Yeah. So they're kind of one of that first announcements of spring as well. They have that beautiful yellow blossom. And then when the blossoms fade, they put on a nice.
Better than the Instagram folks. You'll love this. There you go. Springtime forsythia.
And then they put out a nice, very dark green oval kind of leaf, animal resistant.
Very much.
And pretty drought hardy too once they're established.
Much. Like a lilac. Lilacs and forsythia are companions. Right. I love growing out there.
And we got a couple different varieties. One that gets a little taller, that 4 to 5 foot range. And then we have a nice little one that gets in that 2 footish range. Yeah. So one for each spot in your yard.
For spring open house, just so you know, the 2 gallon size is $10 off. So
I didn't know that.
Only the people that tuned in can know that. Plus people that get their paper, plus people that are on the social media, plus people that are. So anyway, that's kind of a. We are out of time, yeah. Lisa. Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners, thank you for sharing the spring. Be right back.
Look for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website. Podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with 2 T's, gardencenter.com. Growing up in Prescott, we knew spring was here when my grandmother's lilacs bloomed. I'm Lisa Waters Lane, and my grandmother would be thrilled with the new Bloomerang Purple Lilacs at Waters Garden Center. They don't just bloom once in spring, they bloom again in summer. Mine bloomed 3 times last year, making spring last well into fall, and just $29.99. Come check out all the heavenly new sights and scents that are making this spring the most beautiful ever. Lilacs like Grandma used to grow, and better. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling, and it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it, too.
We believe in rising early, working hard, and the fruits of our labor at Waters Garden Center.
Welcome to the Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Welcome back to The Mountain Gardener, your host, Ken Lane. I have got a treat for you all. So we're into the season of spring blooming trees. We're famous in the mountains of Arizona for spring blooming trees. And the guy that knows the most, pretty much in this half, in the Southwest, that knows the most about spring blooming trees is Mike Neenan. He's with Schmidt Nursery. He's floating through training our staff, making sure we are up to snuff on the latest, greatest, why this one's better than that one, why you don't want to sell the box store one because this one's so much better. He makes sure we know stuff. And I'm going, Mike, you've got to share that with the audience. I mean, people want to know this stuff. So Mike Neenan with Schmidt Nursery, welcome to the Mountain Gardener.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
How long have you been in the industry? So you've been with Schmidt probably, I mean, for forever, so far I can remember.
No, this is only my fourth year.
Fourth year. Where were we at before that?
So before this, I was working at a wholesale nursery in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Gotcha. The Bay guy.
So Bay guy. So, and I'm not a Bay guy, so I'm more of a country guy. So I've lived
out of here.
Yeah, I had to get out of there. So I've lived in Utah for three plus years.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
How long you been in the industry? How'd you get into this business?
I started back in 1979 working at a Kmart garden shop.
Oh my gosh, you're dating yourself.
Yeah.
You just described this industry. Once we get in, we seem to stick with it and keep going.
Well,
because
we love it.
Yeah.
You know, we're out, we're dealing with live plants and trees and bushes and it's fantastic.
Yeah. You never tire and you never learn it all. It's always something new, something more. And so number one tree when you, started Kmart.
Number one. Oh boy. California climate's a lot different. So, I'm going to have to say It was probably, it was still probably a maple tree.
Gotcha. Yeah. So Acer rebrum, the old school Midwest maple.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we got so many exotic ones.
Probably autumn blaze or something like that, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, the market's so much different.
What's your favorite tree now out of all the trees you sell? You sell fruit trees, shade.
Well, flowering trees are my favorite. I think crab apples.
Oh.
Probably just because they're so absolutely beautiful in the springtime. And we didn't really sell a ton of crab apples in California.
Yeah.
Like we do in,
They wouldn't grow as well in the Bay or to think up in the mountains. They need cold climate to really bloom well.
Absolutely beautiful. And they have small, some of them do have fruit on them and that's okay. Cause in the wintertime, you know, when there's snow on the ground, the birds eat the berries off the trees.
Yeah.
But they're an absolute beautiful tree.
So crab apples. So a lot of folks think of them like their grandparents, like my grandmother made crab apple jelly, crab apple jam, crab apple.
Yeah.
It's like a miniature apple.
Yeah.
This is not what we're talking about.
This is not what we're talking about.
This is bred or created for its flower because crab apples have a brighter flower, larger flower, most of them double flowers. So they're like showy, just really showy. But they do form a little berry. So most of them, but not an apple, a berry. So that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. And a lot of them are, I mean, they're an eighth of an inch or a quarter of an inch. There's very few that get much bigger than that.
Yeah.
So it's not obnoxious to have those trees near a sidewalk or some. It's not bad.
I do like watching the robins in the winter. They'll come in and they'll fly. There'll be a flock of them land on this crab apple and like they're devouring these berries because there's not much for them to eat in the middle of winter, but crab apples are there. So if you're into birding, crab apples, they're the ones.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think the other ones then are the flowering plums. Those are beautiful.
Yeah.
And they don't get fruit. There are some that get fruit, but we sell primarily the ones that don't fruit and they're absolutely beautiful.
The better ones, you sell the better ones without fruit. We do have fruiting plums. These are flowering ornamental plums. They're bred for the flower, the foliage, the hardiness. Without the fruit.
Correct.
Get that right?
Correct.
How do you do that?
Years and years of production, years and years of trying and failing.
Yeah.
And then finally they're crossbred and they figure it out.
So now we've got some new red buds that came in. So you've introduced more red buds. Red buds, it's a native tree, flowering tree for here. But you've bred that with other plants. So, and all of a sudden we've got several varieties of very hardy, short trees, the big heart-shaped leaf. How long does it take to find, create, and then get up to production for national supply? What's the average length?
The average time is between 12 and 15 years.
You're kidding me. I had no idea. From I found this new variety or I failed it and then we created something new and now we're growing it. So you've got enough production, 12 to 15 years.
So we just introduced an Acer rubrum red sentinel.
Yes.
That was 15 years.
Wow.
It's the cousin of Armstrong Gold.
Yeah.
Which you've seen that tree many a time.
Yeah.
So 15 years of hard work and trials. And they actually just showed it to us a year ago for the first time. It was growing out in the field. We had no idea.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a beautiful tree.
Well, you've got that one, I think, planted around your office. Isn't that one that's Armstrong, right there?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was a sentinel.
No, it's brand new.
Oh.
It's brand new.
Make sure we get some of those. The second they're available, I want them. Because that's like, if I recall, that's like an autumn blaze maple, only it stays narrower. It's a narrower shade tree, but with the same maple red fall color. It'd be perfect for these smaller yards.
We've never had the red one before.
Yeah.
So we've only had the gold.
Yeah.
Or the straight Armstrong.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of years and a lot of work for us to come up with a tree, starting with it could either be a seed in the ground or just a little stick in the ground that you cut off another tree and then you go from there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We are very picky about our trees.
So we go through the Schmidt farm. So every year we go up to their farms and we hand pick. And it's thousands of acres. It's how many acres of farms do you guys have? It's ridiculous.
It's 6,000.
6,000 acres. We're driving a van around these acres and acres and acres of trees. We're going, oh, we like that one. Oh my gosh, hold on. We jump out of the farm. We run to go see him. I gotta have 20 of those. And so Michael go, okay, here we go. We got it. He goes, you'll want to also see these over here. So he kind of makes sure we get the best of the best. And so that's kind of what that farm, and it's a farm. It's muddy. There's water running. There's sprinkler heads going. There's trucks rolling around, tractors. It's a farm. It's not made for consumers. It's made for the industry to see what they want to bring into the garden center.
It's the most incredible thing anybody will ever see, for sure. Yeah. Because when you're driving down the roads, you're looking at a row of trees and they're all exactly the same shape. Yeah. And the only tree you see is the one on the edge of the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to move up to look down the road to see the rest of the trees.
And some of the ones on the road are kind of dirty, dusty because the tractors are going by. You kind of go, I'm going further in. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. And you go to look at them.
Yeah.
It's a joy.
Yeah. Of mine. It's fantastic. So we call those the soldiers because they all
they're taking a
lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, and there's a lot, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of work that goes into those trees from the time that we start them until the time they get to the retail location, like your store.
That's why some folks I'll mention, you know, they go, oh, the price. I'm not sure about the price. Oh, I'm not. Let me think about that. Or anything smaller. Well, we don't sell whips. We're only going to sell an established tree that's been formed, that's going to continue growing in the shape till it's even more beautiful. An ugly tree simply gets uglier. A beautiful tree simply gets more beautiful with age. And so that's one place I tell folks on the radio show all the time. Make sure you hand pick your trees. Shrubs don't matter so much. Flowers kind of reseed, they come up. But trees, you don't want your landscaper doing that. You want to hand pick those because of that reason.
That's correct. We spend a lot of time and labor pruning our trees to make sure that they're branched equally and that there is no crazy hooks in the trees.
Yeah.
Or branches. So, I mean, we're known for the amount of labor we spend on these trees is amazing.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Mike, we are out of time just like that. 10 minutes gone. I appreciate you coming in and just sharing some of that with us.
You bet.
I am amazed how long it takes. I learned something. So I appreciate that. Every time you come in to train our staff, I get smarter, which is great. Thanks for sharing with the audience too. Got Mike Neenan with Schmidt Nursery. You've tuned into the Mountain Gardener. We'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott, 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to the Mountain Gardener.
The colors of spring are bursting at Waters' 61st Spring Open House.
A record number of Waters farmers are here showing off their newest, brightest flowers all weekend.
Friday, we show off this year's prettiest plant introductions.
Saturday and Sunday, it's impromptu garden classes, hot dogs on the barbie, plant giveaways, and drawings.
Join the garden fun at Waters Garden Center's 61st Spring Open House, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss, watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe searching Waters plants is better than a Google search at Waters Garden Center.
You've tuned in to the Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
I was helping a customer, a couple, pair of them, a couple of gals just enjoying the garden center. And they're looking at fruit trees and some perennial kind of stuff. They were just enjoying the whole garden center. And they weren't quite ready to buy. But they were just researching. They wanted some fresh air. They just wanted to come in and enjoy. And so they were shopping for some dwarfed varieties of fruit trees, peaches specifically. So we had Pixie, Bonanza, Golden Garden varieties. There's three varieties. And then some other apple trees, that kind of stuff. And so the advice I gave them, and I should share this with you, no matter where you're tuned in from, this is broadcast all over Arizona. When you go to your garden center this spring, if it's probably a name variety, let's say Fuji apple or Honeycrisp, or it's a Bing cherry or Bartlett pear, you're probably have some time. So you don't have to buy it right then and there because they probably have more coming in. The specialty things you want to snag, do not wait. Just grab it, buy it, have them hold it. Even if you're not quite ready for it, grab it. So miniature peaches, cocktail trees, or you have three or four grafted different fruits on the same tree. These are pieces of art. They're not plants. And so they're very old, and they're just not very many of them. They're very specialized. The more specialized it is, the sooner you want to grab it, because it won't be there when you come back, even a day later. I mean, they go real quick. As soon as this weather clears, all the gardeners are going to come out of the woodworks, and it's going to hit all at once. And garden centers, like, they live for this. We stock up for it. We're ready for it. There's a tidal wave of gardeners, and we're gearing up for them. And so one that really it gets tight, that has personality, are any of your topiaried. These are shaped, kind of spiraled, pom-pommed, unusual. They're on structures. If it's got a shape, if it's espaliered, that is, it's grown real flat, so it goes up against a fence or a wall. These are really specialized, very old varieties of plants, and there just aren't very many of them. So we grab as many as we can, and then they're just gone. It's like, well, can you order more? No, there aren't any more. This is it. This is all we get. You have to secure these things back in the summer of last year, and now you get them. It's not like you get more. Where it's just a single variety, you know, apples, a Fuji apple or whatever, Macintosh. I want Comice pears. You're fine. If you've got Prescott Blaze maples, yeah, I've got hundreds of them. Different sizes. If you want the really big one, I want the biggest of the big. Okay. I only have three or four or five of those. And then I've got 50 of the 15 gallon size. So those, the bigger they are, the more specialized, the older they are, you want to grab them early. So just some insider tips. If you enjoy this program, we've gotten better. And so we are now taking these segments and we're throwing them through our YouTube channel. And we've found some AI programming that helps us take even the best segments of those of each segment, and it breaks it down and just goes, they're talking about when specialized trees, when to buy specialized trees. It breaks it up, and we're throwing that on our Instagram reels. So we're trying to get better with this video stuff. We're debating whether to go TikTok or not because it's so controversial, but Instagram reels about the same thing. So we're throwing them on there, but take a look, subscribe, follow us, and you can get, it's the video version of this. You get to see this live, not just the audio. It's kind of fun. I like looking at myself most of the time when I look good. When I've had a hard day, it's a little harder. So anyway, take a look at that this weekend. Spring open house. Come talk to us. It's fun. We still have our growers in. We don't care what the weather is. We're still going to have gardening. We're still going to be here. We're still going to talk to folks and kind of help them garden better. Throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center. We love talking to fans of the show.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week at the same time as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. You can find him throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located at 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Mountain Gardener on the talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM, KQNA.
Growing up in Prescott, we knew spring was here when my grandmother's lilacs bloomed. I'm Lisa Waters Lane, and my grandmother would be thrilled with the new Bloomerang Purple Lilacs at Waters Garden Center. They don't just bloom once in spring, they bloom again in summer. Mine bloomed 3 times last year, making spring last well into fall, and just $29.99. Come check out all the heavenly new sights and scents that are making this spring the most beautiful ever. Lilacs like Grandma used to grow, and better. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Airtime for the Mountain Gardener was paid for by Waters Garden Center, and they were solely responsible for its content.